Teresa.
Hi, Manny.
It's always nice to see you.
I know. It's always so nice to be here.
You're particularly tall today. You're a tall individual to begin with, or I'm a short individual. I always say I'm taller than Tom Cruise. Which is true. I'm sorry. He's 5'7". I'm 5'9".
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm 5'9" without heels.
Yeah, and so. Then you got the heels, so then yeah. You're like you're towering over me, which is always nice. It's great. But it's always nice to see you.
Thank you.
And I love that you started, like we were talking, and you were like, this is time like that we enjoy doing this. We enjoy doing this show and talking to people. Yeah. And it's getting traction, which is what I like. And what actually, to be, without sounding egotistic, I expected it. I totally expected it. Like, I didn't think it was going to be not well received. It's like construction people, individuals, all speak on the men's side. Mm-hmm. They need to hear these conversations. Mm-hmm. I think they're important.
Yeah, thank you.
You don't think so?
Yeah, thank you for that. This is one of my happy activities, right? So even when I talk about all the different responsibilities that we have on a list, is to often, especially when we, at times when we feel overwhelmed and stressed, is to look at all of your things that are on the list and ask yourself, how many of those things bring you joy? And if you have things on there that really don't bring you that much joy and you're spending some time, I would encourage you to take those things off.
How easy is it, though, to take those things off the list? It's difficult, no?
So not everything is going to bring us tons of joy, but that's when we then ask ourselves the why behind the things that, okay, we have to do and maybe don't make us all that happy. But when you understand the why behind while you're doing it, then you don't feel as resentful about doing those things and saying, oh, my life sucks because I have all these things to do. Well, if you know why you continue to stay in a position that you really don't enjoy, then there's reasons behind it. And again, it makes you feel more empowered about the things that are on your list. And so the things that are on all of my list, I have so many different things that I'm involved in, but they all bring me so much joy. But sometimes when I feel like I'm overwhelmed, I need to remove some of the things from the list and then I reintegrate them when I have more time. But this is one of the happy things that I do, is coming here and technically we're playing together, right, as adults, by having, you know, great conversations with our guests and trying to make the world a happier place together. So, yeah, I'm so happy
to be
here.
I think it's totally working. That's why I like it. So I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a little bit of a drive to get here, but it's nice to sit down and record and just talk. And then we've got three people that are going to reach out today on this particular show and open up more conversation, because I think many more people need to actually. It would be nice to see more people just reach out to us and wanting to be on the show to open up and talk. I don't think at first, I know we were talking about how it was going to be a slight challenge for people to open up about what's really going on in their personal lives, which is really hard to do. And I have a lot of respect for people that do that, because would I do it? No. It's funny. I just got a message on, was it one of the shows that we did where I was like, I'm not going to get married. Someone just sending me a message and they're like, why won't you ever get married? And I was like, really? Complete stranger. And then I just gave her my 2 or 3 cents about what I thought about marriage. And then let's see how that conversation is going to go.
Oh, interesting.
But it's like, I think it came from a Building Joe show, a joy show. I think I totally was probably expressed about that.
Uh-huh.
And so people are listening, and I'm always caught off guard, to be honest, that they listen to so much of the show and they bring up points that have been shared either through you or me or through guests or other people that have co-host the show. And I'm like, they're really listening to what we have to say. So now I get a little nervous sometimes about, okay, what exactly am I going to say now? But I'll still say exactly who I am, true to myself. Simple as that.
Yeah. Well, I definitely would love to hear more so from people who could use some advice, right? That many of us are, we're all going through stuff all the time. The world is constantly pulling us away from the love, peace, and happiness that we are every single day. And so the work, I feel like, is how do we get back into alignment? How do we get back into balance? How do we get grounded and centered when the world is always doing this? And so I know all of us are going through it, right? And so just to say, if you want to be a guest on a show and you want some advice and just to kind of hash it out and talk about it, we can do that anonymously, right? We don't have to share your name. We can just say, hey, you know, we've got a caller today and, you know, we're going to talk about relationships, or we're going to talk about work issues, or we're going to talk about, you know, whatever it is, that because sometimes I feel like having asking someone that you don't really know intimately, right, can give you a bit of clarity that if you asked someone who knows you more, you would maybe not get the honest opinion, or they try to guide you perhaps, you know, in a direction because they know you in your life, instead of just, you know, opening it up to a complete stranger in a sense.
I agree with you. I think a lot of people have gotten better advice from people that they hardly know more than people that they think that know them.
Yeah.
Right? Because they already prejudge what you should be doing or where you should be going. And that's not the reply that we're looking for at first. We're actually trying to be objective. So I think a stranger will be objective. Like it makes more sense, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we would love to hear more so from those of you that do want to be anonymous. You don't need to share any information, just, you know, what you may want some more clarity on.
Yeah. Or just send us questions and or topics or details or whatever, and we'll discuss them. We'll bring them out on the show. So to get a hold of, you can get a hold of myself, you can get a hold of Teresa. So you want to share your information to get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. So you can check out my website. There's a contact form on there. It's teresagreco.ca. You can find me on Instagram, teresagreco_steps to happiness. I'm on Facebook, Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. Or you can email me at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com.
Okay, now it's time to make a phone call.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So our first guest today has an amazing story, and I can't wait for you to hear it because I
think. Man or a woman?
It's a man.
It's a man.
Okay. Yeah. And I've had him on other shows of mine. And he's just, and because he's now working in construction, I just thought, oh, what a great tie-in to, you know, what he's been through and the life that he's living today. He's like an extraordinary individual. Okay. I think you're really going to like him. Hi, Daniel.
How are you this fantastic day?
I'm amazing. And yourself?
Well, I'm vibrating at a frequency that if I got any higher vibration, there'd be two of me, but then I'd have company.
I'd love that. Well, I'd love to introduce you to Manny, my co-host.
Hey, Daniel. How are you doing?
Terrific, Manny. Well, actually, I'll second that. I'm fantastic.
Awesome. Good to hear from you, and thank you so much for jumping on the call.
Hey, my pleasure. How are you this fine day?
Good, good. I always get a high, like Teresa was talking about just before we got started on the call there. It was just, I thoroughly enjoy being in the studio here and having the lights on, having the mics on, and just starting the conversation, discussing things about what's going on in people's lives.
Yeah, I hear you. When I was doing more podcasting and stuff myself, I really enjoyed just walking into the studio, turning things on, setting up, and just getting ramped up for who I can communicate and connect with next, and what knowledge and wisdom we can bring to the people that are looking for it. And ultimately, we may never know, but whose life did it impact or save?
Yes.
Very, very true.
Yes. Thank you so much for that beautiful reminder, because sometimes I feel like when I do this work, I'm like, is anybody reading my stuff? Is anybody listening to my shows? Like, you know, does anybody watch my videos? And not always do we get that feedback. And so that was such a beautiful reminder that even if it just touches, you know, one person's life in whatever capacity that could be, that, you know, that's more than enough.
And where that came to me was I remember doing talks and just going through schools and speaking at schools and thinking, you know what? There's all these kids and they're not really listening, and I don't even know if any of the ones actually even read my book after they bought it, and all the negative flabber jabber that busts through our brains after we're just done a talk or an event. Then I was sitting back, and it was weeks after I had someone message me and tell me thank you, because your message that was in your book and that talk inspired me to read your book. And because of that, I was able to save my mom.
Oh, wow. I just got goosebumps all over. That is so powerful.
Yeah, I just put some water in my eyes.
Now, Daniel, I'm so excited to, because we have about 15, max 20 minutes together. And you have such an incredible story. And because of where you are today, you know, and we work with your hands, and our show is called Building Joy, and you know, it is really about bringing happiness not only into the lives of those people that work in the trades, but really for everybody. But because, you know, that's where your life has taken you, I really wanted Manny to know you and your incredible story, that when I heard you speak for that first time, I was left in amazement going, I can't believe this individual, after everything he's gone through, is standing on that stage. And you, from when we first met to the things you're doing now, like, you're a machine. You are a machine, like, incredible, and in so many ways. So I would love for you to share your story with Manny and our listeners.
Absolutely. So just the easiest way to begin that is pose me some questions that go into your mind, and I'll answer them as directly as I can, so we can leave the biggest impact and impression we can.
I guess the first question, what's the title of the book?
The book is called The Life of Your Choice.
Hmm.
And you how that title came up? Sorry, say again?
No, sorry. I was just going to ask you, when did you write that?
That book, interesting, great question. That book was actually my journal. I was learning how to write again. I didn't understand language. I didn't understand the English language or even speak words. So I actually had to go all the way through, redo my entire schooling again to understand the English language. And so I was taking on life in such a powerful way and going through my therapies, and so powerful. Even while I was in a wheelchair, I was doing more than the therapist could do. They're like, man, you're tiring me out. I was like, I'm rebuilding myself and I want to become the best person I could possibly be. Work with me or I'll find somebody else that can. I didn't wait for, sorry, Kayon.
No. So if you'd like me to ask a question, I'd love for you to go back to, you know, the day of the accident, just to give people some perspective as to, you know, why you've written the book, and even some of what you just shared now about your therapies and your work and your wheelchair. If you could share about, you know, kind of where your life turned upside down.
Yes, that's a great question, because people always look at my life as crap, it's going downhill, and this happened and that happened, divorce and children died, whatever it may be. If you let that get to you and you let that drive and steer your life, pun intended, but literally, I got on the bike. I was going to buy another motorcycle. And this one, I drove there on my motorbike, but I was going to buy another bike. So I got on, it was actually a borrowed bike from the dealership. I got on the bike and I was going down the back road, and because I was so ticked off at what was going on, I didn't want to go home. I figured I'll just go for a test drive and just explore the roads and get some freedom, feel peace before I go home. Never get on a bike or in a car or even go for a bicycle ride when you're pissed, because you're not paying attention.
You're not focusing.
And that day I wasn't, pardon me?
You're not focusing.
Not at all. And when you're on a motorcycle or a bicycle, you need to be focusing.
Yeah.
Because nobody can see it. Nobody's focused on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took off down the back roads going fast. I should have. And I knew that you don't do what I did, pass near an intersection and pass more than one car. So it was my fault, but I wasn't paying attention. I was just stuck in my own mind, getting lost and not really hearing things, which is how people actually walk on the road, not paying attention to the lights, because they're so focused on the crap at work or the crap at home, and they walk right out into the traffic.
Yeah.
Pay attention to where you are and what you're doing. Be present in the moment. That is the take home right there. Be present in the moment of where you are, and you won't get distracted and hurt. And so that day I was not present, and I ran into a van, and our combined speeds were 160 miles an hour. I blew through the van. It threw me up over a street light. When I came down, landed flat on my face. It broke my neck, my jaw, exploded my brain. Basically, when they awoke me from the coma, or I awoken from the coma in the hospital, I was completely brain erased. I didn't know how to walk, talk, breathe, scratch, and itch, just like a little child. If anybody's got a kid, they look at the baby flossing because they got an itch because they don't know how to scratch it. I experienced that again as a full-grown adult. And it's because I got on a bike and I was not focused or paying attention to the wonderful ride and enjoying the ride, but I was paying attention to the crap I was trying to get away from.
And what was your journey like after that accident?
That goes back to the initial part of my statement. It was rehab every day for 8 to 12 hours. They only did 8 hours, but I would do another 2 to 3 hours, get on a bike or do something more, because I wanted to heal now, not in 10 years, not in 15 years, or never, like most people, because they just do the bare minimum. So I would do that. And then I also had one surgery a month for the following 3 years. I just finished the 53rd surgery on this body 3 weeks ago. I had my shoulder fixed up.
Daniel, when did this all happen? How far back are we talking about?
August 30th, 2005, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
And how old are you?
I know. Good question. I stopped counting after I turned 40.
We all do.
I honestly can't tell you. I think I'm...
You're older.
46 or 8 or something like that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'd love to ask you, like, when you started the therapy, the physio...
Yes.
Was there a lot of faith in you recovering?
No. I can clearly remember like it was yesterday, like the whispering in my ear now, Mr. Bax, you'll never be able to walk again. Mr. Bax, but I want to walk. No, Mr. Bax, you're not going to walk again. I'd like to be able to, because I was talking kind of like this, because I've only got one vocal cord. Now they can't shut me up. But I said, I want to be a speaker. Mr. Bax, you can't speak here. You got to wear this robotic device stuck to your neck and sound like R2-D2 for the rest of your life, because you can't. The one I heard all the time is cannot, you can't. And once that I learned what can't means, or how did I say that? That it was constant and never-ending improvement. Anthony Robbins has that word. When I heard that on one of his tapes, I was like, done. That's my motto. I'm making it through this. Mm-hmm. And when you say I can't, I'm going to say, can I? What can I do?
Were you angry at first when you know, the industry that's there to help you wasn't really being fully supportive of you?
Great question. No, because I don't think I knew how to feel anger. I wasn't even mature to my brain enough after smashing it to understand the experience of anger. That was the gift. It sucks the fact that I'm still 20 years later, 15 years later, still overcoming certain things that just don't function right. But in the beginning, that was a bonus, is being that catastrophically injured in the brain that I didn't understand anger or disappointment. I was like a baby.
Did we lose him? Oh, no, there he is. We Daniel? Lost you there for a second.
Daniel?
Okay, whereabouts?
Okay. Oh, sorry. No, at the very end.
No,
there.
You just said like a baby. Like a baby. Like a baby. So Daniel did just as...
We just lost him there, yeah. You want to call him back?
Daniel did a lot of internal work, a lot of visualization, a lot of meditation, a lot of time with spirit, because the outside world was telling him, like, you can't.
Otherwise.
You can't. You won't walk. You won't talk.
But he was finding his own... outlets?
Inside, he was doing all of this, a lot of this internal meditation, like light work within himself, where he visualized himself walking, like every single day, hours at a time of visualizing, you know, what he wanted his body to be like. And so once he comes back, I would love for him to share a little bit about, now that we know, you know, the depths of you know, where he was.
Is it not connected?
And everything that he's become, how he's rebuilt his life.
Is he walking?
When I met, he's working construction. He builds tiny homes. He's in amazing shape. So when I said he's a machine, you look at him, you're like, you would never know that he's somebody that almost died.
Went through that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Shoot.
It's still not connected.
And he lives very up north too. Like, he doesn't.
It sounded like he was in his car driving, but it could just be the. There it is. It's reconnecting itself. Don't worry. It's fine.
So when the outside world was constantly saying, no, Daniel, you're never going to be able to, you're never, never, never. He was doing all that internal, the opposite, saying, I will, I can.
How is he able to do that when the so-called professionals are telling you otherwise?
Yeah. And that's what he was doing. He was like not listening to that at all. Every time, as he said, every time they said you won't be able to or you can't, he's like, I will and I can. I will and I can. And he was doing all that internal work where his body was like was responding to the work that he was doing. And they were like floored of like, you know, how is he doing this? Because he should never have been able to.
Oh, probably can't connect.
Can you? I can't imagine that he just finished having his 53rd surgery.
In less than 20 years since the accident.
Wow. That just is telling of like the shape of his body that it was in after. And when I first met Daniel, because we shared a stage, I was speaking and he was speaking after. And because of just the shape of his vocal cords at that time, it was almost very hard to hear him. He had to stop ever so often to be able to like to speak his words. So when I just think of how far he's come along, even from when I met him, he's like, as I said, a machine. He's in amazing shape.
So he was saying that he went through the van. So he broke his neck.
He flew over, like as high as the streetlight. Like that's where his body projected all the way up there. So when it came down and it literally smashed, and I don't know how many broken bones he had in his body. He shouldn't have been alive.
Wow. And then he was writing this book and putting it all together during this whole process.
I didn't know that he ended up publishing that. I didn't know anything about
it. Hopefully we can try to reconnect with him to get a little bit more from him, but it would be nice to, I mean, it almost seems like 15 minutes is not enough to kind of get what's going on.
Daniel?
Sorry, say that again?
Oh, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. So, Daniel, if we could maybe fast forward to... you know, kind of where you are today, and how does, you know, sharing more about like the life that you live, are you still building tiny homes?
Yes, actually, I was just communicating with a good friend of mine, my associate in building tiny homes, and actually we're going to be helping somebody else put a tiny home and trailer together now. So we do all things like refurbishing older trailers or reconstructing trailers into a tiny home, or actually building tiny homes up from the foundation up.
And now, is there anything that like you cannot do?
Fly.
I love that. Just because you have done so much work on yourself internally and externally. And so what I wanted to share with the listeners is that how does somebody who has come through a major accident that, you know, could have killed you but didn't, and all of the work that you've done that has brought you to like where you are today, how do you live today? How do you find your happiness today, despite, you know, what you've lived through? And what perspective do you have on life after having gone through something like you have?
Terrific question, Teresa. I was just actually speaking to a friend of mine literally just before you called and shared with him, you know what? Positive people or inspirational people, we all have down times. That's a part of life. That is what we do. Or that is the flow of life. But when you choose to look at it, instead of looking at woe is me, poor me, why this, why that, look at it and go, what have I learned? Whom can I become? How can this make me stronger? So when you look at things like that in life, like even the accident, who have I become and what have I got to experience? And now I get to recreate myself into the person I've always wanted to be. They see, will say, well, I've got these old habits. Well, break them. Mm-hmm. They're as easy to break as they are to make. Make a choice.
Daniel, how did you dampen that? Like, I mean, I still have problems. You know, you hear people or you read messages and it doesn't matter the size of the attack or the size of the negativity that's being thrown your way. How did you dampen all of that? And I know that Teresa mentioned that you just internalized it and you just, whatever they were saying, you almost took the opposite road. And that's how you started growing from that. But how did you pull that off?
That's a terrific question. it's looking at it and making a choice. Do I wish to go in this direction? Would this lead me to where I want to go in the life that I wish to achieve and experience in life? Or would this take me down an avenue that's off course? Like, it's like something simple. If you're driving somewhere and you happen to be on the wrong road, are you going to continue down that wrong road and curse and swear that you keep on getting further and further away from where you want to go or be or your destination? Or are you going to stop, take that next turn and head back to the avenue where you're going? And life is very much like just driving. You're driving through life. So when you're heading down a place you don't want to be, take some time, whether it be an inspirational song or music or a word of a powerful leader, or it's just you pulling at your goals list and looking at it and going, that's why I'm doing this. Okay, still feels like crap, but that's why I'm doing this. I'll make it through. It's only another day away. Or it's only an experience that now, what can I learn from this? Going back to the last question, what can I learn from this? And whom can I become because of experiencing this and get knocked off track?
And Daniel, you surmount incredible obstacles all the time. So has it become like almost like your MO in the sense that, you know, they say you can't and I'm like, and inside you're like, screw that. I say I can. And you just like persevere and you test the limits for yourself.
I'm guessing so, because that's what people see. But on the inside, I'm still running turmoil in my head that on certain things that are not functioning and or I'm not where I know I could be or. Financially, I'm not in the space where I should be. Same time, I just walk back out the door and I say, okay, what do I do today? How can I step forward? And how can I make the best of myself in this very moment? That's all we have is this moment. So how can we make the best of ourselves in this moment, which will bring some lightness to this darkness that I'm experiencing?
Did you ever go back to the doctors, Daniel, and just go, can you start speaking to people differently now?
I actually just got out of the wheelchair and I made it a goal when I was in the wheelchair. So I'm going to go back and see the surgeon who saw me in the ICU. And I just got out of the wheelchair and I was just learning how to walk. I think they rolled me in. I made two or three steps. He walked out and he saw me. His jaw dropped. You could literally hear it hit the floor. And he backed up and then his head actually hit the wall. He goes, "You're alive." I said, "I am, because of who you are. You kept me alive." And it was my goal to go back through, and it still is. As I start doing more and I get more known for what I want to do and just awaken the people and the possibility and potential around the world, is to go back through the medical community and society and just let everybody know it's like there is possibility. You don't got to tell them they can't, because that stops most people. Just say there is a possibility. You're not telling them they can do it. So they're not going to come back and blame you for not walking ever again. But you're going to say there is a possibility, because look at all the people who have done what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's what you need to focus on. Is look at it. And you guys do that with business and life. Look at the people, as Teresa says, who are happy. Why are they happy? Why are they there? Let me imitate or duplicate that.
Daniel, I feel like if there was a poster for resilience or fortitude, your picture would be there. Because how does somebody get knocked down and like over and over to say, you know, all of, again, because of all of the hurdles that you've overcome and obstacles you've overcome, where there's a naysayer that's saying, no, you can't, and you're just overcoming it. And even despite all of the challenges that you've had, that, as you said, there are still days when you're just like, oh, you know, my body isn't able to do, you know, what it is that I want to do. But if we think about, you know, how far you've come from where you were, it's amazing. So how, if you had to speak on resilience, what would you say to that? How do you continue to be resilient? And what is that like internal self-talk that helps to propel you forward?
Wow. You know, I think it kind of goes back with the last statement you made a few back, is that it's become an habitual way of my being. Sometimes I don't even know, because I'm groggy and I'm stuck in the fog of my disappointment of, say, like right now, I just had the shoulder operated on. I feel like I'm half the man because I can't use half my body. And I think that it's just annoying that it will get better as long as I do the right things and not stick with the quote unquote pharmaceutical way of doing things, but understand the more connect with the experts to understand how to heal stuff like this. Cause then when I do that and I watch experts and know what they've done and how they continue to move forward, I was like, if an athlete can break a leg and get back on and play the field within that year, why is your broken leg still hurting you 5 years down the road?
Yeah.
What's different that they did that I can do that could make a difference in my life? I just look at people who've accomplished what I wish to do.
And Daniel, how do you find happiness? I mean, it's an internal thing. And I just want to know, you know, is that where you find it? Or, you know, what does that look like for you?
Oh, wow, that's a powerful question. A lot of it is what has always brought me happiness from the first day that I could actually talk and walk and move was putting a smile on someone else's face. Just by doing something as simple as greeting them with a smile, holding the door open for them, picking up what their kid dropped there, threw out of the carriage and just give it back to them. Maybe because I had some extra change, I don't feel like having change in my pocket, and it's $1.50, and I'm standing at the line up at the coffee shop. I said, take this off the next person's bill and just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to know me or nothing. I just look back when I walk out and I see the grin on their face. That is what brings me happiness. Because I know what it was like to be in a doomsday space and never experience, not even understand how to spell the word happiness. I just knew how to make somebody else smile. And that made me smile.
We have to let you go. I definitely want to get you back on the show and somehow we can coordinate this and to make it happen. But I would love for you to just share, what's the difference between you waking up that morning, the day of the accident, and the way you wake up today?
The significant difference?
Yeah.
I can actually move my body and I can think a thought. But overall, the big difference is it's, now I get to make the choices of what I must do to propel myself forwards versus having a thought or an idea of what possibly could happen and having someone else tell me you can't do that.
Yeah.
But you know, as we all still to this day, we still get people to tell you you can't do that.
Yeah.
But now it's just a choice of hearing it and taking it as a perspective and then moving forward.
Thank you very much, Daniel. It's amazing to speak to you and to, I would love to meet you one day and shake your hand.
Thank you so kindly. I'm looking forward to meeting you and seeing you again, Teresa. If you got something going on in the city, I'll gladly come on down and be a part of it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing your story in such a brief time, because there are so many amazing details that we weren't able to get to. But yes. I just want to say thank you for giving us some of your time today. And there were so many amazing little nuggets that you shared in that. And Manny and I are going to pick those apart a little bit before our next guest. But I just want to say thank you really so much.
Thank you, Daniel.
It's been an absolute pleasure to be with the both of you on here. And there's one last thing I would like to say. How many times do we hear the word impossible, impossible? I heard that so many times. And because I didn't know how to spell the word, they told me to spell it and then say it, and you get the word. I am possible.
Yes.
So I started to thank them every time they told me it was impossible, because I heard them say impossible. Like, oh, I've got all the nurses and doctors and therapists supporting me and telling me I'm possible. Hell, I'm gonna make this
happen. Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Possible. Thank you very much.
Talk soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I remember that when he said impossible, it's like, I'm possible. I love that. So he's, I'm going to share his account.
Totally.
I want to tag it in the show notes too. So you can see him and like what great physical shape he's in. That for somebody who was never supposed to walk again, he's in top form.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. What was the name of his book again? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
What is it? The Life of Your Choice. Yeah, I want to look it up. So
interesting. And the way he was chronicling all those like first days after the accident. So yeah, it would be interesting all of the different things he was.
So he knew he was not going anywhere.
Meaning like that he was going to make it through?
Yeah. From the very, when he finally woke up, despite what the doctors were saying, he knew that he was not going to go their path. He was going to go this new path. Mm-hmm. He already knew that. It was inside of him.
Yeah. And I really love his story for like the spiritual aspect of it, because of all that internal work that I said. He spent a lot of time with spirit, visualizing like light coming into his body and going and healing different parts of his body, and in that state for like long periods of time. And we know that that works. It's creating healing for a lot of people. Yeah. That even Dr. Joe Dispenza, if anybody knows him, same thing. He was supposed to be in a wheelchair and he did a lot of that visualizing with light hours at a time because he had nothing else to do. He was just sitting there. So I might as well work on healing my body from the inside out.
Yeah.
And using his spiritual self for that healing.
Isn't it funny though, Teresa, that most people damage their body from the outside in? They absorb what people tell them.
Uh-huh. And take prescriptions from the outside in instead of doing it the other way.
The other way around.
Yeah. What are some nuggets that he shared from his story that that really hit for you?
It was, you know what, like he said, when it happened, and I'm a motorcyclist, right? So we're always in fear of this, right? And he was 100% right. There's been a handful of days that I've been on the bike when I should not have been on the bike because of something that was going on in my life. And you quickly have some near misses, and I never got to this extreme. But then you quickly realize you can't be operating a motor vehicle like this in this state, and nor should you be. And you have to, and in my situation, I would pull over. But then when that happened, he knew that he had a fork in the road. He knew that he could either go down this way or he can go down this way. And just to hear him say that he chose to go this way, despite what so-called experts were telling him, that he wasn't allowed to go this way. And nobody should have the right to ever say that to a person. You are the only one that's going to tell yourself if you can or can't do it. You have to decide that. So to hear him say that he decided to go down this way, and despite facts being told to him that he will never achieve anything, he just disregarded that, which is, I think, that's a childlike quality. I love that he brought up the fact that he started relearning a bunch of things when we are born, like when we're born and we start discovering things for the very first time, and we forget that as adults. We like 1000% forget that over and over on a daily basis. And that's why I asked him, what was the difference between waking up then and waking up today? And most people wake up with this heaviness attached to them. They don't realize that they are in a pretty good situation. There's far worse people out there. And for him to do little things, and I've done those little things about him leaving the change, and just like you do things without any repayment. Like if more people did things not expecting a return compliment or return anything, just did it out of the kindness of your heart, how much better society, communities, individuals, groups, everybody would be. So just to hear him talk about a lot of those things was fascinating to hear, because I try to do that. You try to rack it in your head, but then you also have your own life and it beats you down. So that's why I was saying, you know, a lot of the stuff that's coming out or coming from out in versus he was focusing on building his life from the in out, mm-hmm. which is really valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all of that. When I said that he would be like the poster child for fortitude or resilience, the fortitude is when people, all these naysayers, as you said, the negativity, the world pulling us away all the time, is not listening to that and being so committed to like yourself, your goals, and the life that you want to live, despite what the world wants to throw at you, and to say like, that's your story. It's not going to be mine. Yeah, it's not going to be mine. And I say that when we have like something on our heart to do, that there are gifts that we only possess, that there's no one else in this entire universe like us, only us, and that we have very unique, special gifts that even when I talk about happiness, there are other people that talk about happiness, but they don't talk about it the way that I do or in the manner that I do, because all of us have our unique like twist to things, right? And so what's on my heart to bring into the world is not what's on your heart and what other people's hearts. So we have to honor that despite the naysayers, and to say, And every day that he is like in the moment. So, you know, what can I do today versus, you know, him? Because I think, you know, from knowing Daniel, he is hard on himself because, you know, he wants maybe the body he had before. Or, you know, I don't know what, you know, what he envisions himself to be like. He probably doesn't appreciate all of the amazing feats that he's overcome.
I'm sure he reminds himself
that he's accomplished to stay. Yeah. To feel good. But,
No, that was great. I definitely want to continue the conversation with him.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate it. We have to wrap this one up.
And
we
have another.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I think that's it.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Bye.